everyone. Welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. This month, we have a special interview with Chuck Kennedy. He's the former White House photographer, and he worked as the assistant director of the White House photo office during the Obama administration from 2009 to 2017. He has also helped Michelle Obama's team with their Reach Higher College signing days, and he's done amazing work throughout the years. I'm so excited to share this interview with you guys, and I hope you feel inspired.
So I'm with an amazing guy. I'll let him introduce himself.
My name's Chuck Kennedy. I live and work in Washington, D.C., which happens to be my hometown. I had the great privilege of spending 8 of my years working as the assistant director of photography in the Obama White House and acting as one of the 5 official photographers who documented through almost 4 million photos the administration. So that's since January 19th, 2017, I've been working for myself and still working a lot with the Obama Foundation. And for most of 2019, spent documenting the historic campaign of one young mayor from South Bend, Indiana, named Pete Buttigieg, who up until 30 days ago, I was traveling all over the country with.
Oh, wow. That must have been fun.
It was amazing. It was a good crew of people, and I think very highly of him and his husband and the rest of the campaign team. I've been doing a lot of virtual check-ins with people in the last couple of weeks just to stay connected so that we're not all in our basement bunkers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. For high school students interested in a career like yours, what is your recommendation for their educational pathway?
Okay, my educational pathway had nothing to do with photography.
Okay.
My educational pathway, I was a history major. Not a terribly good one, but I was. I studied also sort of traditional journalism, and sort of at a certain point in time, those things, I realized, at a certain point that I was better at telling stories with photos rather than in a written sense. But what I tell former interns and students who I meet is to be effective, you need to know other things than just pushing a button, that you need to either learn a language or about the economy or history or something that lets you connect the world in a way that you can then visualize. So that's my advice, is not necessarily going to traditional film school as your only thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know, because I know a lot of students think they have to go major in photography, but if it's something you're passionate about, you kind of just figure it out and you're taking great photos.
The nuts and bolts of it, the mechanics of it, come through practice and failure and time. It's not the first thing you need to make an informed decision when you're interacting with people, when you're trying to think of a story, when you're writing a story proposal to, get funding to do that story. All of those things I think are more important than just the, being good with your right index finger.
Yeah. And you seem to put people at ease when you take photos. What's the trick?
So one of my photo heroes is a National Geographic photographer named William Albert Allard, or Bill Allard, whose career has spanned decades. And something in one of his earliest books, which I think is really important and true, is that you have to be really honest with your subjects, and through treating them with respect and honesty, people will sense when you're trying to do something just for your own purposes, and that you have to be really upfront with people and approachable. Otherwise, you don't get that connection with people when you're actually photographing them.
Yeah, that's true. You have to be really good with people.
Yeah. You sort of have to go into every situation with an open mind about what you're going to, the thing you don't expect is the thing that becomes valuable. So you really need to be good at listening to people and observing people, as opposed to coming in all about, you know, what you think you're going to come out of it with. It's kind of a nuanced thing, but that's why, you know, when we were at the White House, we were all tried to be very much, you know, a fly on the wall and sort of in the background and quiet and not too in people's space to sort of let you see and watch a scene develop and how people are interacting with each other. You just kind of want to step out of that.
Yeah. And so let's talk a little bit about the Obamas. How did you get your job with them?
So I worked in Washington, D.C. for one of the news agencies that at the time my photos were going to almost 400 papers around the country on a, you know, in all the bigger cities. One of the papers was the Chicago Tribune, and I had gotten to know Pete Souza very well. He was kind of my contemporary, you know, in that newspaper chain. You know, as a campaigner, I covered a lot of the senator on Capitol Hill. I covered a lot of his campaign. I knew Pete Souza quite well. And, you know, at the end of the day, they asked Pete to be the official photographer, and he invited me to join the staff. And, you know, so it was really just knowing the right people and being in the right people's radar at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no actual job application. I basically said to Pete, hey, if you need help, I'd love to be part of that. And that was sort of how the conversation went 2 weeks before their first inauguration.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Do you have a favorite photo you took around the White House?
I mean, there's some I'm fond of, and it probably has more to do with the situations they occurred in as opposed to the actual photo. But, you know.
Is there a favorite room maybe that you really like to take a picture in?
You know, it's funny. When I read that, I instantly thought one of my favorite rooms is the Red Room on the state floor of the White House. But I also treated, you know, the White House sits on an 18-acre national park. And I also spent as much time when I wasn't shooting meetings or events, just kind of wandering around those 18 acres. And I sort of treat the 18 acres as a room itself. So it's either the Red Room or the grounds themselves, you know, sort of on a much bigger scale. It's seasonal, it's beautiful, it's, you know, beautifully manicured. And it's a quiet space in the middle of a pretty busy city when you think about it.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. So if I ever go to the White House, I'll have to check out that room.
The Red Room, yeah. There's a green room, red room, blue room. They're kind of all in a row. And they all have, you know, kind of a different decor. And a couple of portraits I shot of Mrs. Obama. One was in the green room, her second official portrait. But I was in there for a Vogue magazine photo shoot with Annie Leibovitz in the Red Room that still blows my mind today to, you know, sort of.
Wow.
Yeah. You
know, and you were probably around during the Ebola and the swine flu scares that were happening many years ago.
Yep.
How do you think President Obama would handle what's going on right now with the pandemic?
Probably smartly.
Yeah.
Why, you know, he would gather his best medical and scientific minds. I mean, I have no idea what they're actually doing today in the White House. I will preface anything I say about that. But, you know, he, like when there was a runaway oil spill, you know, at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, it's sort of the same thing. You gather your best minds and you try to come up with a plan and communicate it to, you know, the country. And I think that's what he would do. Yeah, so I think, but that was the way he approached everything. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a pandemic. You know, any complicated decision, he would get his best people around and listen, you know, and then make the tough choice. And I think that's sort of the process.
Yeah. What about the Obama pets? Did you ever get to take pictures of them?
So for a while in the office, we joked that I was Beau's official photographer. and I think Beau is my favorite if I had to choose. But, you know, I have a dog that's about a third the size of Beau. So.
They're cute dogs.
They are cute dogs. And now I'm just trying to think, man, you know, Beau must be 6 or 7 now. I have to go look and see, you know, when he was brought home. He's a not a senior dog, but he's a middle-aged dog now.
Aw,
He's
and what were, as far as like the dog photos, are they hard to take pictures of?
well, he's particularly hard because he's like, you know, his fur eats light and it's hard to see his eyeballs because his fur is so curly around his eyes. So that it was always sort of an exposure test as to how to get a good photo of Bo and still see his eyes.
Yeah.
it became a trick after a while, you know.
What were at least maybe three of your favorite Obama moments? Like, is there any stories you like to share?
Oh, man. You know, one that I'll, you know, anytime you were with the Obamas themselves or the staff or traveling, there was always incredible moments. But, you know, thinking towards the end of the administration, they did a bunch of nice things for those of us who had been there the whole time. And one which my wife was also included with was a concert in the East Room by Bruce Springsteen and his wife, which sort of became the preview for his Broadway show. Just an acoustic set that went for like 90 minutes, you know. And I think we were sitting a couple rows, you know, as guests. I didn't even have to bring a camera. So that was pretty exciting and memorable. And I got to share with my wife. So that was
Oh,
fun.
Yeah, I bet. That must have been pretty cool.
The thing is that I tell people what you see of them on TV is legitimately them. So there's no like special trick about them, you know, when the cameras aren't on them. They're just fun, smart people who you want to be around. And you would see with any of your friends at times them being silly or funny or, you know, playful or whatever. It's a good 8-year history of getting to see them just be themselves, which is fun.
Yeah. They're pretty authentic.
Mm-hmm.
What about, can you tell me who was the most photogenic and who did you like to take photos of the most?
Well, I was lucky because I got to pretty much split my time between the president and the first lady's schedules and events. I think the president would agree with me that Michelle Obama is much more photogenic. So I will say that.
Okay. And so I guess you'd like to take more pictures of Michelle Obama, or it didn't really matter because you just were excited to be working with them.
I was excited to have as big a universe as I could and not just be doing meetings and events all the time. So if it meant traveling with her and on her schedule, fantastic. Once in a while, I'd help out and travel with the Bidens, and I love them too. You know, I tried to, through the 8 years, not just do one thing, but to do as many things as possible and to have as many interactions with all of them that I could.
And how do you capture such great moments? Like, what's your thought process as you're taking a photo or about to take a picture?
Don't screw this up is sort of first and foremost. You know, don't trip over a lamp and distract everybody. You know, and just also sort of keeping a running tally of the kind of pictures you've taken before in your head of a certain situation and how you can change it up and kind of bring fresh eyes to something you may have done 1,000 times or 10,000 times. So,
yeah. Well, last year, we were very fortunate to go to the UCLA College Signing Day mm-hmm. for the class of 2019, and they mm-hmm. selected 5 students nationwide to be on stage with Michelle Obama, mm-hmm. and 2 of our students were from Nora Vista High School.
Okay.
Can you talk about, like, what was it like in that moment to take pictures of the students with Michelle Obama and all those celebrities?
You know, the thing is that, you know, even celebrities, once they meet the Obamas, melt away. And like, you know, you might be, you know, the top selling singer or movie star or whatever. But man, once they get in that room and they're meeting the Obamas, it's the same for a pair of students. Like time stops and seeing their reaction to the people you know very well is sort of what I watch for, you know. And for Mrs. Obama to take time in her now private life to still support the things, you know, that she helped begin in the East Wing is humbling. And to see students still benefiting by that is amazing. So that's what I take from it, that, you know, it's public service. It was public service then, and it's still public service now. And that's what gives me hope. You know, you don't necessarily need an 18-acre estate and a mansion and a long motorcade to do good work.
Yeah, that's true. She She did amazing work, and she still continues to this day. Yeah. Do you have a favorite story from College Signing Day last year that you like to share?
Boy, I'm trying to even remember a year. I'm trying to remember a month ago, let alone a year ago. Not offhand. It's just each College Signing Day, like those students are now becoming part of a bigger family, and that seeing that in sort of that light bulb turn on with students, be it 2020, 2019, 2018, is like, you know, they're part of a bigger community now, and sort of seeing that door open, you know, while they're sitting on stage is pretty humbling. So I kind of treat them equally, and I kind of treat the process as sort of the exciting thing, as opposed to just a, you know, special moment on stage.
Yeah, I had talked to Mark and Raquel. Mark's enlisted in the Marines now, and Raquel's at Riverside City College, and they said their favorite moment of Michelle Obama is just her hugs. Like, she gives, like, the best hugs.
Yeah. She's a hugger. She's a known hugger.
Yeah. <She's> a,
although we have to be careful with that now. I think maybe we could just, you know, bump
elbows. The elbow bump or the kick step.
Kick step. That's new. That's for 2020, the kick step.
What about if you could go back in time and take pictures of anyone in history besides the Obamas? Who would you like to take a photo of?
Okay, so I was talking at breakfast with my family about this. And I think if it was in my lifetime, I would say Martin Luther King. And if it were in U.S. history, I'd say Abraham Lincoln.
Those would be great people to take pictures of.
You know, I would say Neil Armstrong only if I could have gotten a ride to the moon, but I don't think there was room, so I'll stick with Martin Luther King.
What is your proudest moment or your, I guess you could say your greatest achievement so far?
Oh, boy. You know, just trying to balance out having an exciting career, realizing that what I can do can be public service as well. Getting to travel all over the world with, you know, these amazing people, you know, it's all pretty humbling. I don't know that I can single anything out. I just feel really lucky.
Yeah, you have a pretty awesome job.
Yeah, it's a little different now because I'm technically my own boss and working on my own projects because, you know, and still supporting the people I used to work with in some fashion. So that's sort of trying to make that all work, you know, and still pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever.
Anything else you would like to tell our listeners?
I don't know. I think we've pretty much covered. You know, you tell me, do you feel like you've gotten enough?
I do. I guess my only question was, do you have like a favorite photographer or a picture you have in your house that you just love?
That I myself took or someone else took?
We'll go with both.
Actually, you know, I was just thinking, like, as I've been spending a lot of time at my computer looking over stuff in the last year that I shot with Mayor Pete, I was thinking what might be fun in this moment of being stuck in our offices is trying to, like, trade some prints with photographers, you know, whose work I really like. You know, maybe we can like have a currency between us, you know, sharing stuff so that we can not be always looking at our own stuff. But I don't know. Actually, I have remarkably few photos hanging in my house, except maybe, you know, kind of semi-current stuff that I have hanging by my desk here. Engineered a system where I use like magnets so I can make prints, put them up for a while without having to frame them. And then either, you know, sign them and give them to people or, you know, kind of archive them for later so that I can kind of keep somewhat fresh stuff on the walls so that it's not collecting dust over a long time. So tough call.
Yeah, I guess that would be a tough call.
Try to keep it moving.
You know? What about, we do a sunshine spotlight at the end of our podcast. Can you name at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
I'm happy to be in quarantine with my family. I mean, nobody's getting bored with each other, and we're all kind of sticking to our projects, and we're in a radically different world than we were just a month ago. So, you know, everyone's healthy. We're keeping occupied. We live on the edge of Rock Creek Park, so at least we have a little space we can, take the dog out and not have to actively avoid anybody. Just kind of wave to our neighbors. But I think this is a good thing. I'm meeting a bunch of students in California, so that's pretty helpful. I'll take that.
Well, thank you, Chuck, so much. I guess my highlight was meeting you this week. I'm a big fan of your work, and I love the pictures you take.
Thank you.
Our students were so excited that you took pictures of them last year, and they love the pictures. They have them on their social media, and we even had it on our website. So I thank you so much for all your great work.
Hey, that's easy. That's the easy part. I just kind of wish we could be doing it again, the spring, but I kind of think we're all on, hiatus for the moment in terms of live events. I think it's going to be a lot of hooking up the Google Meet or the Zoom, a lot of Zoom going on.
That's true. Well, if you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
All right, folks. I know it's going to be a little different sort of spring semester, but keep your heads down and try and stay positive. We'll come through this in the next few months. I don't know that that's the most.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate you being on today.
I appreciate it and meeting you, and hopefully you'll get back east soon. And if I'm out west, I'll give you a shout.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.